Sergeant and Mrs. Smith, you're going to love this house.
Is that a tub in the kitchen?
There's no field manual for finding the right home. But when you do, USAA Homeowners Insurance can help protect it the right way. Restrictions apply.
This is a prove-it year for Jalen Hurts.
All eyes will be on him.
These franchises and organizations have put you in a great situation to have success.
We have had a trade. Eagles get A.J. Brown.
Touchdown! That's A.J. Brown!
Hey, let's do it, man. Hey.
I want to win it all. That's my expectations coming into this building.
I love the draft.
They bolstered the defense with Jordan Davis and N'Kobe Dean. The Philadelphia Eagles are the team to beat in the NFC East.
The standard has been set, and the only direction is the climb.
What an offseason it has been so far in Philadelphia, with so much excitement surrounding the Eagles heading into this season. With that, we say welcome in NFL Live on an early summer Friday. I've got from left to right Ryan Clark, Robert Griffin III, Kimberly A. Martin, and I am Field Yates. And we're going to start where you just saw, which is Philadelphia, where the Eagles continue with their OTA's work today, which included the presence of their most high-profile addition of the offseason. You see him right there, wide out, A.J. Brown. And it was a busy, busy day in South Philadelphia. And for more on what we need to know, we bring in Sal Palantonio live from Eagles headquarters. Sal Pal, what's the latest buzz in Philly?
Well, busy day and big day, right, Field Yates? You see Jalen Hurts and A.J. Brown on the field together, and these two guys, best friends, they want to develop a quick chemistry and get this passing game better in quick order so they can make the next step in the postseason. After practice, I caught up one-on-one with Jalen Hurts, and here he is.
I think it's gelling really well. I think it's gelling really well, and I think we're all committed to making it go. Everybody's hungry. And everybody has it on their minds. You know what I mean? So everybody's committed. Everybody's putting the work in every day.
And we're definitely building something here, and continuing every day, just working hard and just trying to get on the same page. You know, and it doesn't happen overnight, and we both know that. And we working continuously. We're working conversations after practice. Like I said, we always working, so you never had to question me and him working, because once again, like, we're best friends and we always trying to get better and we're pushing each other.
Hey, this is Philly. It's supposed to happen overnight, right, Field Yates? They got to get it together quickly, and everybody realizes that. I talked one-on-one with Nick Sirianni, the head coach, earlier in the day, and he told me about Jalen Hurts getting out to California, working on his technique, working on his footwork, working on his mechanics, making sure that the base of his footwork really leads to better accuracy, trajectory, and velocity on his football. He said he's committed to making himself better from the ground up. That's where it comes from. Shane Steichen also talked about that, the offensive coordinator. It all starts off the back foot. You load up on the back foot, and you make sure you get the ball downfield consistently and accurately. And that's how they'll get better in the passing game.
You know, some people get fired up when they see OTA's highlights. I get fired up when I see Sal Pal at an OTA, because that means it's an important day and that football is drawing nearer. Sal Pal, thanks as always for joining us here at NFL Live. So the Eagles are clearly looking to put all the pieces around Jalen Hurts, the right ones at that. He's entering his third year in the NFL, but a big area he's going to need to improve from is inside the pocket. Last season, he threw 9 touchdowns and 8 interceptions from inside the pocket, compared to 7 touchdowns and just 1 pick when outside of the pocket. It wasn't due to a lack of protection from his offensive line. The Eagles are the third best pass block win rate last year. It's one of the best offensive lines in the NFL. So let's go to our quarterback here for our first thoughts on Jalen Hurts. Robert, what do you think you need to see from Jalen Hurts this year specifically?
Well, Fields, Jalen just needs to keep winning football games and continue to show his improvement as a facilitator in the pocket. Last year, he completed 61.3% of his passes, 16 touchdowns, 9 interceptions, but he can't just simply repeat those numbers and expect it to be a successful year. And it's because of what we've all talked about. They've added so many pieces around and bringing in a true number one in A.J. Brown, bringing in Zach Pascal to add to that room with Devontae Smith, Dallas Goedert, and Quez Watkins as pass catchers. So when you look at Jalen Hurts, I just think people have to allow him to be Jalen Hurts. Stop trying to put a square peg into a round hole by comparing him to Aaron Rodgers and Tom Brady and Peyton Manning. He's going to do it a different way. There's different ways to win in the NFL, and we have to allow our analysis to evolve along with the game itself. So I think his numbers will improve, and he's got to go out and show that even if it's just with his arm, he can beat the likes of Patrick Mahomes, Josh Allen, and Joe Burrow. Because when it came to the playoffs, and I know my guy, he's going to hit this, it came to the playoffs that he wasn't able to show that he could get it done from the pocket.
Listen, I agree with Robert, right? We don't have to see Jalen Hurts get it done in a traditional way. If you look at football, it's moving away from the traditional. Yes, you still have the Tom Brady's and you have the Aaron Rodgers. But even when we look at guys like Josh Allen and Patrick Mahomes, Deshaun Watson, Lamar Jackson, Russell Wilson, all of these guys move around, Justin Herbert, Joe Burrow. So it doesn't have to be that statue in the pocket, but it's about success. It's about process. It's about progression. And this team went to the playoffs last year, and they know that. They have a better roster this year. This team is built to win the NFC East. And when everyone looks at their success or their lack of success, they're going to point to the quarterback position and say, do we have that guy? So if you're Jalen Hurts, you do need to take that next step and take the step of being the reason your team wins, not necessarily winning in spite of you. I believe Jalen Hurts is poised to do that. I believe they've constructed the type of team around him to allow him to get to that point. But it's going to be on that offseason work. It's going to be on that mastery of the playbook. And it's going to be on that timely playmaking that Jalen Hurts needs to show for them to win the NFC East and not just get to the playoffs and get stumped out, but get to the playoffs and make some noise.
Yeah, it feels like a ceiling and floor thing, right? We all believe the floor for this team is pretty good because it's a really good roster, but the ceiling is probably dependent upon Jalen Hurts. So, Kimberly, I ask you this. What's the feeling inside the building surrounding Jalen Hurts?
Field, do you remember how excited we all were on draft night when that A.J. Brown trade went down? Imagine what that building was like. They know you don't make that trade if you don't think that this team is built to not just beat the Cowboys and beat the Giants in Washington. They see themselves as prime contenders to win this division title and get into the playoffs and win games there. But again, with Jalen, they have very high hopes for him. Internally, I'm told he's described as a humble leader, a guy who has gotten his teammates on the same page, his wide receivers. He came into this offseason with that chip. And if you know Jalen Hurts, you know that chip is not going anywhere because no matter what he's done to this point, there's always more that he knows he needs to do and to prove. And now the Eagles have done a good job surrounding him with enough weapons on offense and defense. Now it's on him, as RC said, to take the next step and win more playoff games.
And the first time for Jalen Hurts, he's played in the same offensive system in back-to-back years since high school. Today is National Gun Violence Awareness Day, and many teams around the NFL are speaking out on social media about the importance of this topic. Eagles owner Jeffrey Lurie released a statement that reads in part, quote, "These senseless acts will not cease to occur without a concerted effort from those who govern our nation and make public policy," end quote. Lurie later added, quote, "My hope is that we can influence our elected officials to create and pass legislation so the people in this country can feel safe when they leave their homes," end quote. Sal Palantonio asked Jalen Hurts about this earlier today.
I think it's impacted us all in so many different ways. And in the community of Philadelphia, Buffalo, and Uvalde, Texas, Tulsa, and many more from past disasters, I think something that just has to change, you know. And I sit here and think about the places of an elementary school, a grocery store, or even a hospital. You know, those aren't places where fear should be, you know. And I see her as a big brother, a big cousin. I couldn't imagine my sister not coming home from school. I couldn't imagine my little cousins not coming home from school because of something like this. My dad not making it home from work. My mom not making it home from work. So it's just something that, you know, it's something that needs to change. And getting these assault rifles off the street, We don't need those, you know what I'm saying? Just spreading love, you know, spreading love, spreading positivity, and giving these young ones hope. Because right now, it don't look too good, you know what I'm saying? It don't look too good, so it's just tough. It's tough. I just felt like at least speaking about it, speaking on it, would be me owning my impact and owning my platform to say something about it, because it matters.
The Eagles are one of many teams in the NFL today to wear orange-themed practice shirts in honor of Gun Violence Awareness Day. Much more to come here on NFL Live as the Raiders reunited Devontae Adams with Derek Carr in a blockbuster deal, creating a loaded pass-catching group in Vegas. How far can these players take the Raiders? Plus, Deebo Samuel rose to stardom last season, stamping himself as one of the most versatile pieces in the league. Coming up, our NFL Live crew will name who they believe is the most versatile player in the game.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details. This podcast is proud to be supported by Jet's Pizza, the number one pick in Detroit-style pizza. Why? It's simple. Jet's is better. With the thickest, crispiest, cheesiest Detroit-style pizza in the country, there's no competition. Right now, get $5 off any 8-corner pizza with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Go to jetspizza.com to learn more and find a location near you. Again, try Jet's signature 8-corner pizza and get $5 off with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Jet's Pizza. Better because it has to be.
After an improbable 3-1 win versus Scotland Wednesday, Ukraine is one win away from qualifying for the World Cup. They face Wales on Sunday at noon Eastern on ESPN Plus and ESPN. Later on Sunday, be sure to tune in for Game 2 of the NBA Finals, 8 Eastern, 5 Pacific on ABC, ESPN Deportes, and ESPN Radio. Jason Tatum and the Celtics have the 1-0 lead after a win last night with featuring a historic fourth quarter comeback against Steph. And the Warriors coverage tips with NBA Countdown at 7:30 Eastern time.
This had been building for quite some time, and it stems back to Devontae Adams' unhappiness with Green Bay.
What's going on, folks?
We tried to plot and scheme this thing for a long time.
It's crazy for the fans, for Fresno State. You know
that's game on. It's a blessing to be able to play with him, not only because of the player he is, but he's one of my best friends. We do have confidence that we can do it at this level, too.
Raider Nation, I'm here. It's real. You know that's
game on. He's here, and it is real. The Raiders have been one of the league's biggest splashes this offseason when they traded for Devontae Adams, of course, reuniting him with his college quarterback, Derek Carr. And according to Carr's older brother, David Carr, this deal was a long time coming.
It's been something that they've tried to make happen for 5 years now, since Devontae signed his contract extension several years ago with the Packers. Derek was pushing to get him there, and a couple years ago, they were really close to making that happen.
He's so creative, and I alluded to earlier, he's so explosive. I think that's when he puts his foot in the ground, it's tough to deal with him. And he's got a great imagination. He knows, you know, what the defense is trying to do to take him away, and so he'll counter that with certain things. And, you know, it doesn't matter if he's double or triple teamed, he'll get open a lot of times. And so it's been fun just to be with him.
Is Hunter Renfrow going into his fourth year, or is he a 42-year-old offensive coordinator? Sometimes I just can't tell. But over the past two seasons, Devontae Adams, Darren Waller, and Renfrow all rank amongst the top 17 players in the NFL in receptions. They're actually the only trio of teammates that all rank in the top 25 in catches over that span. So, RC, we'll start with you. Lots of players to spread the ball out to. How do they balance this offense out?
Man, listen, if I'm Josh McDaniels, I'm on the sideline rubbing my hands like Birdman because I know we got the hot boys. Look, when you look at all the players that they have on this team that can just absolutely, hey, guys, I'm trying to get this done, that can absolutely flat out make plays. Hunter Renfrow is a beast in the slot. Darren Waller is a matchup problem all over the field. And Devontae Adams is the number one wide receiver in the league. Josh McDaniels understands how to scheme week to week to take advantage of the best matchups, and he's going to have great matchups all over the field, not to mention the running back in Josh Jacobs that can give you a power running game and also hit the big play. This is an offensive coordinator's dream. Josh McDaniels is not in Denver with Tim Tebow at quarterback. He has Derek Carr, who is an elite level talent with skilled players all around. This is going to be fun to watch. It's going to be about taking the right play, calling the right play at the right time, and the Las Vegas Raiders are going to be a very difficult offense to stop.
Yeah, you need like 9 shutdown cornerbacks to play in the AFC West this year. Robert, I want to ask you, as we all know, as we've talked about, Davante Adams and Derek Carr went to college together, and they connected well during their time at Fresno State. Is it going to take some time for them to build that chemistry back, or should it be expected to be seamless?
Oh, Phil, this is going to be seamless. We're talking about chemistry? Talking about chemistry between two guys who played in college, put up prolific numbers, but they haven't thrown the ball to each other in a long time. I mean, I haven't thrown to my college receivers in 7 years, and I could pick up a ball today, throw it to Kendall Wright, Terrence Williams, and Josh Gordon, hit them in stride. So I don't think that'll be a problem for Derek Carr and Davante Adams. And they've been working on this for a long time, right? So when I look at the Raiders, it's not about the X's and the O's. It's the Jimmys and the Joes. Mm-hmm. Everybody's mentioned that you got Darren Waller, you got Hunter Renfrow, Davante Adams. They've got a plethora of offensive weapons that they can use and so much offensive versatility. The best thing that happened to them was Josh McDaniels learned from his mistakes and didn't come in and trade away all their best players like he did in Denver, which had him with Tim Tebow and all those guys, RC. So all the hopeless romantics out there, they say if you love something, let it go, and it'll come back to you. So the love was really between these two, made it work.
Okay. Sticking with the romance theme, as Robert just brought up, you know, we made such a big deal about the Josh Allen, Stephon Diggs bromance that we saw in Buffalo. Like, Derek Carr and Davante Adams, they're about to be so sickening because they're so in love. I think when you look at Davante Adams, he left Green Bay, and you think, gosh, he's going to leave one of the best quarterbacks in the world and go play with his boy? Yes, because he wants to be with the Raiders. He wants to go back out west. He wants to be with his boy. He got the bag from the Raiders. And one thing that Adam Schefter had said, you know, during the offseason, when Rodgers was still deciding what he was going to do, it was that he hadn't talked to Davante Adams. We all assumed that they were so tight and that they were in constant communication. I think Davante Adams has his best friend in Derek Carr, and that makes all the difference. Plus, you got lots of weapons to work with.
Yeah, they sure do. I'll ask you this, RC, is our defensive back on the show. How are you going to prepare for this offense, especially early in this season when you're an opposing defense?
Well, first off, you get in the ice tub because you know you're going to run around a lot that week because these boys got moves on top of moves on top of moves. And the other thing is you're going to need your defensive coordinator to come up with some things that are creative. When do we double Davante? When are we doubling Hunter Renfrow? Mm. When are we doubling Darren? The problem is this. All of these guys can execute on all three downs and the fourth one if you need them to. That is so difficult to stop. And Kimberly mentioned it now. One, he's back out west. Two, he got the bag. Three, he's with his real friend. I want y'all to know this. Just because a teammate talks good about the way you play ball, that don't mean you're actually cool. All of your teammates ain't your friends. Mm-hmm. All of your friends ain't your teammates. Yep. They have a real bond. And it's like Robert says, it's something about being in the same dorms, on the same practice fields, at 7-on-7s all summer that give you a chemistry that cannot be undone. And that's what these two players have. They're going to pick right off where they left off, and it's going to be fun to watch because now they have other guys on the field can make plays. This ain't Green Bay no more.
Well, where they left off, by the way, was during Davante Adams' final college season. He had 24 receiving touchdowns. That's still the fourth most ever in a single season in FBS history. Hey, coming up next, we're far from done. The Cowboys had a resurgence on defense last season, led by rookie sensation Micah Parsons and his 13 sacks. DeMarcus Lawrence is coming for his crown.
Become the stat leader again. I let a rookie, show me up last year. Shout out to my boy, Micah.
Sorry, tell him he's never getting that back, ever in his life.
You know, every day is a great day to eat a donut, but today is, in fact, National Donut Day. You know, they're near perfect in nature, but they found themselves in the center of a controversy in the Cardinals' locker room between J.J. Watt and Zach Ertz.
Zach said, I'm going to bring in donuts in the morning for Buddy, our strength coach. What kind of donuts do you like? I said, wow, that's really nice. I'm a big fan of the pink frosted, I think it's strawberry, and maple glazed. He goes, cool, I'll pick them up in the morning. Shows up this morning, box full of donuts, no strawberry glaze, no maple glaze. I'm extremely grateful for the free donuts, but do I have any ground to stand on?
You do, JJ, and you eventually got that pink frosted donut, tweeting this image yesterday while thanking Zach Ertz and writing the beef was officially squashed with a crying, laughing emoji.
Yeah, really good, JJ. You got a good point here. I should probably have a
light. Okay. I want a donut.
Okay, Phil, you got the donut ready to go.
You're going to have to ask someone else, Kimberly, because I'm not sharing mine. This thing is delicious.
Where are props?
I got people that take care of donuts around here. I know a guy knows a guy when it comes to donuts. This is delicious pink strawberry sprinkled donut. I am a very happy man right now. I suppose.
Glaze only. Glaze only.
Ooh, interesting. We can talk about that. You know what?
Glaze only.
That's better than what I know Orlovsky would say. Orlovsky would say just take the glaze off and a plain donut, probably dip it in some, I don't even know what he would dip it in, probably some milk or something.
Give me some bran cereal. Forget the donut.
That's right. He doesn't need to eat donuts.
Unseasoned donuts, probably.
All right, so let's talk football, I guess. So I'm going to finish this donut later. Time now for some read and react. And you may have heard Aaron Rodgers has been away. He's been, like, playing golf and stuff, not at OTAs. And if there's a silver lining, it's that Jordan Love continues to get these valuable reps. Here's running back A.J. Dillon on what's impressed him so far from Jordan Love.
Oh, yeah. He's got his swagger back. I love it. I love it for him. I love it for the team. You know, I don't know about losing Mojo. I just think it was more his first ever game. Yeah. You know, it's scary. I was bricks when I got out there for the first. I was bricks the whole season my rookie year. So, it's just part of the game. And so that's why I'm happy. Like, you know, get those bad throws out now. Go build the confidence, you know, figure out how to bounce back.
Robert, you think Jordan Love's prepared to take a step forward, even if he's the backup again this year?
Yes, Phil, I do think he's prepared to take a step forward. I think you look at what happened to him last year. He went out and played in the game, and it didn't go the way that he wanted to, but that doesn't define him. And I think he might have had a wake-up call when the Packers paid Aaron Rodgers all that money that really ignited that light-skinned dog inside of him to wake up and show that swagger and confidence that everyone's been looking for from him since they drafted him. But we all now know that A.J. Dillon, whenever he eats food, it doesn't just go to his quads. It comes out his rear end in brick form as well, so there's that.
Let's move on to Kansas City, where Eric Bieniemy remains the team's offensive coordinator after once again being bypassed for head coaching gigs this offseason. Here's Bieniemy on his future.
In reality, yes, it is tough, but I don't let that keep me from doing what I do. I'm still alive, I'm breathing, and I have an opportunity to work with a championship team. So that's the beauty of it, and so I just got to go get it. I'm not seeking any comfort. You know, I haven't gotten it. For whatever reason, it don't matter. I'm going to keep knocking on that damn door, and I'm going to keep working my ass off to make sure that it happens. So my job this year is to make sure that we take care of the business that needs to be taken care of today to help us to achieve the goal down the road. But then it's time for me, when presented, to just go and get the job. You can always be better. I'm always going to take a look at myself, all right, first. I always make sure that I'm checking everything and making sure I'm checking every box.
RC, he says it could be better. How? They've been unbelievable the past 5 years.
Well, I mean, you can always be better. That's going to be coaches talk. I'm going to say this. Anytime a person goes to the simple blessings from God, being alive and breathing, that means they know that things are out of their control. He can't control or hire himself. Matt Nagy before him, Doug Peterson before him, did the same job, probably not as well, and have gotten jobs. It's something about Eric Bieniemy that's not allowing him to get these jobs, but he knows he has a job to do in Kansas City, and that's to win another championship without Tyreek Hill.
Wide receiver Odell Beckham Jr. is still on the market after winning the Super Bowl with the Los Angeles Rams last season. His teammate Cooper Kupp addressed OBJ's situation on First Take earlier today.
Just as a person, as a teammate, how he was, you know, in our building, I would absolutely love nothing more than just to be able to have him come back and be a part of what we're building here. And it just hurts. I talk to him, you know, daily, be able to keep up with him. Would love to have him back.
RG3 is the best, excuse me, Kimberly, is the best place for OBJ back in Los Angeles. And what's the latest there?
I love Odell back in LA, but Cooper Kupp isn't the only one who's trying to recruit Odell Beckham Jr. back home. Actually, Myles Garrett posted on IG the other day the caption of, "Come home, the fellas miss you." And Odell's response was, "Who are you talking to?" And Myles Garrett said, "It's time." So the Browns, think about it. If Odell actually went back to the Browns, that would be a juicy story, especially since we know that Baker is not there, but I love him in LA.
It would certainly fit in with this NFL offseason, which has been absolutely bonkers so far.
Bananas.
Let's go to Dallas, where the Cowboys continued along with their OTAs this week and already forecasting a friendly pass rush competition amongst teammates for this upcoming year. Here's defensive end and team captain DeMarcus Lawrence on taking back that sack title.
Become the sack leader again. I let a rookie, you know, show me up last year. Shout out to my boy Micah, you know. But, you know, restate my dominance. You know, let everybody know how I'm coming, how I feel, and, you know, the type of respect I'm going to demand when I step on that field.
I want D-Law to step up. I want him to be who he is. I'm not taking that away from him, but sorry, telling him he's never getting that back ever in his life. You know, he got to enjoy it. I want him to get all the enjoyment that he possibly can, feed his head so he could be a 10 sack guy, great. But if 10's the number, I'm going for 20.
20, wow. Well, DeMarcus Lawrence may have his work cut out for him if he hopes to return as Dallas's top pass rusher this season. While he played just 7 games last year, he ranked 21st in pass rush win rate, and 61st in pressure percentage out of 206 players with at least 100 pass rushing plays. Micah Parsons, on the other hand, he led all of those players in both areas, making you wonder if he'll see an uptick in pass rushing snaps in year 2. But that's what we have smart people like RG3 and RC talk about this defense more. And let me ask you, Ryan, how should Parsons be utilized this year? Because he can do everything.
You know, that's a tough thing, Phil. When you have a versatile player, you want them to do everything all the time, but you can't. So it's going to be about Dan Quinn understanding when is the right moments to have Micah Parsons as a pass rusher. And I think that he's one of the more natural pass rushers in the entire NFL. I believe has more natural pass rush skills than D-Law himself. But it's going to be about finding the right moments, the right situations to put him at in or to allow him to blitz from the linebacker position where he gets one-on-one, where we've seen him whip player after player, time after time. Dan Quinn allowed this defense to progress last year. Now they need to take the next step to the elite level, and that's going to be making sure that Micah Parsons is used to the best of his abilities at all times on the field, and that's a difficult choice to make for a guy like Dan Quinn, who's obviously going to want to use him in so many different positions.
Yeah, if you're the Cowboys, don't reinvent the wheel. Don't overthink it. Micah Parsons is so great when he rushes the passer because you know have no idea where he is going to be when he lines up. Think about peak J.J. Watt. He used to line up on the right end, the left end, in the middle of the defense, just looking for his mismatch of the week. And I think the biggest mistake that the Cowboys can make is use those analytics and say, well, he's got all these pass rush win rates. Let's give him more pass rush attempts and try to get him to replace Randy Gregory. That's what you have Dexter Lawrence for. That's what you bring in Dante Fowler for. Micah Parsons is that X factor, and allow him to be in those unique situations that RC was talking about where you can get the most out of him and make them have to focus on everybody else on that defense as well. So I look at the Cowboys and what they've done. The thing that they could do would be a big splash move for them is to go get Ndamukong Suh. His mindset, his tenacity rushing on the interior would allow Micah Parsons and the rest of those guys to have even more flexibility on that defensive line.
You know what? I never thought about that RG3. That's a little GM RG on your butt for this NFL Live. I think that would be amazing. When you can get a pass rush, and RG3 knows this, when you can get pressure into the face of a quarterback, it makes it extremely difficult, and you're flushed out to a DeMarcus Lawrence or to a Michael Parsons. When you look at what Dan Quinn was able to do last year, it was absolutely phenomenal. But we know that they need more, and Michael Parsons is a huge part of that.
Yep.
Don't be predictable. understand situations, and utilize this young player right, and you can have you a star for the next 10 years.
We talk about players needing to have discipline. Ooh. Sounds like Dan Quinn's going to have some discipline as well in terms of how he utilizes Micah Parsons in year two. Hey, up ahead, wide receiver or running back or wide back, Deebo Samuel, still not at San Francisco OTAs. So what effect will this have on the presumptive starter, Trey Lance? Stick around and find out why Ryan thinks Lance and the Niners are going to be just fine.
Ten seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/network.
We all know breakfast is an important part of your day, but sometimes when you're traveling for business, you end up staying at a hotel that doesn't offer any. You know what happens? You grab a cup of coffee and skip the meal entirely. We've all been there. But if you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you can enjoy their free Bright Side breakfast featuring delicious baked goods, fruit, eggs, yogurt, and waffles. And really, who doesn't want to start their day with a fresh hot waffle? Tonight, La Quinta, tomorrow you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
Somebody with the team told me that they couldn't break the huddle without Deebo last year.
If you're a young quarterback and you have a weapon like Deebo on the field, you just want to get him the ball.
Deebo Samuel's a really, really good player. He'd be their best player by far on offense.
Turns the corner. Deebo! Touchdown!
Deebo Samuel, still a 49er. While the star X-factor of the offense has asked for a trade already this offseason, no deal has been made, and GM John Lynch doesn't sound like a guy who's ready to move on from Deebo Samuel. Here's what he said on Tuesday. This is John Lynch. We haven't traded him, and I'd be a fool to trade him. So, yes, Deebo will be part of the 49ers this season. Kimberly, what is the latest on the Deebo Samuel situation? I'm stopping shy of saying saga because I don't think we've reached that level yet.
No. Phil, it's funny because when I heard John Lynch's comments, my first thought was somebody better let Deebo know that he's definitely going to be with the 49ers this year. Listen, John Lynch has been very consistent throughout this whole period saying he will be back. He will be ours. I'm no fool. I will not get rid of him. And it's funny, I actually was covering the Jets for the draft, and I know I talked to the Jets personnel about how they went out and called the 49ers, wanted to add Deebo, and they were told, no, we're not moving him. And, you know, everybody that I've talked to about the situation thinks that this will get resolved. John Lynch and Kyle Shanahan are not guys that are going to react quickly. They are fine being patient, and they expect Deebo to be there for minicamp. But we have a few weeks to see. We're going to see if that's the case, because if Deebo is not there, then this does turn into a saga field.
Robert, let me ask you this, because if he does, in fact, remain a 49er, which seems to be where things are heading right now, does it concern you for Trey Lance, the presumptive starting quarterback this year, that he does not have time to develop chemistry and rapport with Deebo right now?
Phil, it doesn't bother me one bit. You know, Trey Lance knows that he can only focus on what he can control. And yeah, you're going through the offseason, you're working through this offense, and your number one threat is not there to build camaraderie and chemistry with. But it's because Debo's over there hitting the Magic Johnson meme, right? I'm not going to be here. So even though Mike, you know, Kyle Shanahan and John Lynch are saying, hey, he's going to be back, we're not going to trade him. If he says he doesn't want to be there and he doesn't want to play, I think the worst thing possible for the 49ers and Deebo is no Deebo, right? Deebo wants to play. If they're not going to trade him and he doesn't want to be there, what's the case that it turns into a saga and he doesn't show up? But for Trey Lance, he gets a chance to actually work through the offense, work with Danny Gray, work with Brandon Ayuk, work with George Kittle, build his confidence. And I'm hearing he's making throws that they never saw Jimmy Garoppolo make out there. So I think he's just approaching it the right way, focusing on what he can control. And then when Deebo comes back, if Deebo comes back, throwing a 2-yard behind the line screen and watching Deebo run 60, taking it to the house, that's real easy to do, guys.
Listen, man, Trey Lance got to keep the main thing, and that is mind your business and be an independent contractor. He can't make Debo come to practice. He can't get all of this ordeal to be over. All he can do is work on being better, mastering the playbook, understanding the small nuances that make Kyle Shanahan such a great offensive mind, and going out on the field and getting those things done. And listen, y'all, how long did we have to listen to Stephen A. Smith be mad at Kyrie Irving this basketball season? He was mad every day. Kyrie wasn't even doing nothing, and Stephen A. was mad. And guess what? When he came back, he still gave them boys 50. You know why? Because he's good at it. The same way Debo is good at it. I ain't never seen a team get worse for bringing back a very good player. And that's what's going to happen to Trey Lance. Debo will elevate his game. He's going to elevate Kyle Shanahan's game. He's going to make all the other skilled players better. Let's not worry about the offseason like the offseason is the end-all, be-all. If he shows up, the San Francisco 49ers are going to be a team to reckon with, because the dude can flat out go and they utilize him to perfection.
Exactly. RC's right. And the fact of the matter is, great receivers, great offensive playmakers, they make everything easier for the guys around them. So there's no question that this offense is going to look completely different with Lancelot riding the horse as opposed to Jimmy Garoppolo. They're going to use play action. They're going to use his legs with designated runs.
You may just call this man Lancelot.
Trey Lance is going to go out there and he's going to show everybody why he is a dynamic player. I like it, RC. I'm getting the feedback from RC.
It's Friday, bro.
What is going on? It really is Friday right now, RC. Let's move forward to quick reads. We get off the Lancelot. We'll let that one fester for a little bit. If you're going to make a pick for the most versatile offensive player in the NFL, and let's exclude Debo from this conversation for right now, RC, because he's that good, who are you picking?
I'm picking Travis Kelce. Let's think about this. Travis Kelce lined up at quarterback. Travis Kelce lined up at running back. He lined up in the slot. He lined up at the inline tight end, and he's lined up as the number one wide receiver. Tell me somebody else that's doing that. This dude is as much likely to throw the shovel pass as he is to catch it on the goal line. You want the jump pass to Tim Tebow? He does that. You want him to high point the ball in the corner on the wheel route to beat the Buffalo Bills? He does that. Travis Kelce can do it all, and he keep a fire fade.
Tell you the most versatile offensive weapon is Lamar Jackson, hands down, point blank period. He's the most dynamic offensive weapon in this dimension and the next. And for every running highlight you show me, I can show you 5 times the amount of him throwing the ball from the pocket with rhythm and timing and poise. So don't sleep on Lamar Jackson. He's the best player in the entire league.
All right. I hear all that, but the answer is really Alvin Kamara. Think about it. Every year this guy's been in the league, he's been a Pro Bowler. He is a generational talent who can beat you in the run game, the pass game, and when he's not on the field, the Saints often suffers. So think about that looming suspension. That might be big this year.
Ooh, keep an eye on that one as we get further along, closer to training camp. You just mentioned the Saint, Kimberly. Well, coming up, the Saints have revamped their receiving group this offseason. One of those additions, of course, Jarvis Juice Landry, and he spoke on his move to the Saints and had some high praise for Jameis Winston. Hear that next. We'll have game 2 of the Eastern Conference Final for you tonight right here on ESPN and the app. The Rangers lead Lightning 1-0 after their convincing 6-2 game 1 win. Our coverage begins at 8 Eastern, 5 Pacific from Madison Square Garden. Saints are mowing along during their OTAs, and there's been plenty of buzz about that new-looked wide receiver group, but perhaps no offensive addition this offseason is more important than the healthy return of Jameis Winston. Here's what Jarvis Landry had to say on what he has seen from his new QB1.
He's a leader, man. He's a guy, again, like I told you guys earlier before when I first got here, he's one of the reasons why I came here. Just the conversation that we had, you know, the intent that, you know, he's putting about behind the things that he's saying, you know, and obviously out here on the field, you know, what you see is what you get, you know. I mean, look, I don't see nobody else out here, and this guy's the last one, you know, and that's who he is.
Jameis had his first season as Saints starting quarterback cut short due to injury, but there was clearly a difference in his play compared to his years in Tampa Bay. In his 7 starts, he posted a career high in touchdown interception ratio, recorded a career low in air yards per attempt, while also averaging his longest time to throw, meaning he didn't feel the need to air it out all the time, even when he had the opportunity to do so. All right, so Robert, what's the key for Jameis to find success this year? Because this team is talking big right now.
Yeah, this team is talking big, but all those stats show you that he had learned his lessons from Tampa Bay when he was forcing the ball into coverage and throwing to the other team. So Jameis Winston can lead the Saints to the Super Bowl because they're set up with the Super Bowl-ready roster. On offense, they've got a lot of weapons. On defense, they've got effective, dominant players, and they brought in the Honey Badger as well to add to that group. So I look at it and I say three big ifs have to happen for the Saints and Jameis to do what they came to do and win a Super Bowl. Jameis has to be healthy. He has to continue to throw the ball to the guys that play for the Saints. Two, Michael Thomas has to come back and be the number one wide receiver that we remember him being before he left the field a few years ago. And then three, it comes down to how effective and how long will Alvin Kamara be on the field based off all the things that are happening with him off the field. If those three things come together, the Saints are a very strong contender to be Super Bowl favorites because they have one of the best rosters in all of football, and Jameis just has to continue to not throw the ball to the other team.
Yeah, the Saints have pieced together a roster that should win the NFC South. Now, it is about Jameis Winston still understanding he doesn't have to get it all in one play, but I don't put that just on him. That's also on Pete Carmichael, the offensive coordinator, because Sean Payton had his hands on everything that went on with this New Orleans Saints offense. Now you have Chris Olave, a smooth, explosive route runner. Jarvis Landry, all he does is catch passes. And Michael Thomas, who broke the record in the NFL for receptions in a year. Not to mention a Taysom Hill Swiss Army knife. And like he said, if Alvin Kamara is on the field, all the things that he can do. This defense has, to me, been Super Bowl ready and Super Bowl caliber the last 3 or 4 years.
Yep.
Offensively, they couldn't make the plays in the postseason. Now with Jameis Winston, now with this skill position set, they have an opportunity to not only win the South, but compete to win the entire NFC. I'm excited to see what happens in the boot because we got some boot boys from LSU down here, too, and I think they need some rings on those fingers.
It wouldn't be NFL Live if a certain somebody wasn't talking about the boot in LSU. Jameis has to. That's true. I'll give you that. Jameis, I'm curious to see if Jameis will be able to handle not needing to prove it all at once, make up for lost time all at once. Because I've talked to him during the 2019 training camp when he thought, you know, that was his last year in Tampa. Last year with the Saints, he thought, okay, it's all the pieces have fit together, and then he gets hurt. Now we've got, Sean Payton's not there, but we've got such an explosive unit. The defense is ready. You're looking at Jameis like, is he healthy? Can he take that next step? And he's got a cannon of an arm. We have to see it. We have to see a full season. And I think the Saints team will go as far as Jameis's interceptions. Honestly, if he cannot take care of the football, they're going to be in trouble. And I think that's what we need to see from Jameis. Because everything else, I feel good about.
RC, are you convinced that he can dial those interceptions back enough to do exactly what Kimberly just outlined?
You know what? I am. And I'm kind of sad for Jameis that all we point to is his last year in Tampa Bay. We treat him like he threw 30 interceptions every year. Mm. Jameis Winston was Pro Bowl player. Jameis Winston was extremely explosive that year as well. And we watched Tom Brady struggle with interceptions early on in Tampa with Bruce Arians and that offense. I believe Jameis understands what he has to do. He got a chance to learn. We'll see it happen this year.
Can't wait for football and to see things in New Orleans. As always, we finish the show with one more thing, and we have a special one more thing today. RC, take it away.
I'd like to thank Minkah Fitzpatrick, the Pittsburgh Steelers, and Mike Marchinski. Jay Philly, a good brother of mine who was in the league, part of the NFLPA, reached out on behalf of a sick family member. They wanted a football signed or a card or something so she could have some memorabilia from her favorite player and her favorite team. Things progressed a little fast. She was sent home and they needed a video. Minkah Fitzpatrick walks outside, does a video for her, sends his prayer, sends his thoughts, sends his love as a Pittsburgh Steeler and someone that young lady loved. So many times we hear about the negative stories about these players, but not their kindness, not their heart, and not the things that they give back to his community or to their communities. So to Minkah Fitzpatrick, I say thank you. Not only an elite talent, a tough player, and a leader, but an awesome man that represents the NFL and himself very well.
RC, it's a great reminder of just how many class individuals we have in the NFL. As you said, so often the headlines we latch onto are the ones that paint a negative light on a small group of individuals within this NFL subset. Yeah. The reality is the NFL is full of world-class human beings. Good on you, Micah Fitzpatrick, for your small gesture that went a long way in bringing a family and a sick individual some love during a difficult time. NFL Live is back on Monday.